Hello, everybody. I'm Deb, the host of Cosmopolitics. Cosmopolitics is a podcast simultaneously uplifting and criticizing popular culture in the U District, Seattle, on our phones and beyond. Fundamentally, Cosmopolitics is about asking and answering the question of why does culture matter? So a little over a year ago, I stepped onto UW campus for the first time as an official student. I was going to my first Dog Days event, I guess. It was a myriad of, you know, groups dedicated to advocacy and activism and social justice were gathered there. And I remember one of the groups, it was the UW Students Against Sweatshops. They had been handing out these flyers about how the dorms use prison labor, and it had a phrase on there that really shocked me, not because I disagreed, but more because I was like, whoa, I've never seen people actually say this with their full chest. It had the phrase ACAB, aka all cops are bastards, on there. I remember I was so shocked because I was never one to really be super ballsy about saying that in front of other people, because I've got so many follow-up questions about my beliefs on the cops, police, etc. You know, it was a pretty radical statement. And I feel like it should still be a radical statement because it is a pretty radical statement in the context of how things are right now. So I was so shocked. And at that time, I guess it was generally pretty like, I guess if you're in more of that circle at the UW, it's probably not that shocking. Like, you'll hear people say ACAB and everything. And I remember I was just definitely, it caught me a little off guard because I was like, oh, this is super cool. But it was also really shocking because, you know, I was fresh out of high school where everything was pretty liberal and pretty just whatever. But fast forward to today. It's October of 2020. It was more than a year ago. I feel like I am no longer fazed when I hear people say ACAB or whenever I see people texting or like typing or putting it on their profiles online. Honestly, nowadays, people kind of just say it like it's nothing. It's probably largely attributed also to how much, you know, how much the sort of the scene online regarding social justice, injustice, Black Lives Matter has shifted over the past months. I think everyone will agree that at least there have been some changes we've been seeing, you know, in terms of the way we talk about things. So, you know, Tinder profiles and social media accounts, Twitter, Instagram, are lined with, quote, ACAB, BLM, in the same way that you'll see girl power stickers on sorority girls' hydro flasks and laptops. You know, it's everywhere. Whether you're swiping like on Tinder or Bumble or something, you're seeing like straight up people will just have a line that says ACAB BLM. And like, I don't even know what it means to me anymore. But, you know, you see it everywhere in the media and social media, like people will just throw around ACAB. And it's like, awareness is good, because I think there are more people who are realizing the reasons why people are saying ACAB and the reasons why people say Black Lives Matter. But it's kind of weird because I feel like the same people who will get defensive at people calling for, like, abolish the police, they'll get so defensive. Meanwhile, their bios will say ACAB. And it's like, what do you think ACAB stands for? The B stands for bastards. It's like, make it make sense. So, yeah, like, today I kind of just want to talk about that. Talk about this aestheticization that's happening with a bunch of radical ideas and like the permeation of radical ideas and revolutionary ideas into popular culture. Like, is this a totally good thing? Let's kind of just get into it. Today, joining me is a fellow kind of lefty person who also spends their time on the internet, including but not limited to Instagram, Tinder, Twitter, you name it. Please welcome UW sophomore M. Dixon to Bless Your Ears. Thanks for being here. Yeah, so let's just like get started, honestly, with the topics.
Yeah.
So diving right in, we're going to start off with a little bit about dating apps and social media. So Just to kind of set the scene, when you're using dating apps, like when you're using Tinder or Bumble or whatever, mm-hmm. would you say that you care about people's political preferences or like what they write down?
That's an interesting question. I think it definitely does make a difference. I feel like when I'm on Tinder and I see that like someone has like ACAB or BLM in their bio, but I don't think I interpret it in the same way as I guess ACAB or BLM was like originally intended to be interpreted, right? I feel like, and I was thinking about this a lot earlier about how like when you, I feel like ACAB and BLM don't mean Black Lives Matter. Like ACAB doesn't mean all cops are bastards. It means ACAB now. And when you make something into an acronym, I feel like it loses its meaning a lot. And like when you brand something, like ACAB and BLM have been so violently branded on social media and on dating apps, it doesn't, I think, mean the same thing at all that the movement initially meant. And I don't think the terms really belong to the movement anymore. And so I think when people put BLM and ACAB in their bios, it says less about, I don't know, I guess like their political views and more about them wanting other liberals to think that they're cool, I guess. Like, what would they want to present to the rest of the world? And I definitely think that like white, speaking from a queer person's perspective, white queer liberals have co-opted BLM and ACAB.
Yeah.
And they use them as signals to other white queer liberals that like they're cool and they can hang. So yeah, I think, I don't know if they specifically answered that question.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's all good. You know, I vibe with that. I vibe mm-hmm. with that. So if you see a profile, like whether it's on like dating apps or whether you're just scrolling through Instagram or Twitter or whatever, does it mean anything to mm-hmm. you when you see a profile that has ACAB, BLM, you know, because I think a lot of people just have that now. Like, what yes. does that mean? You see that, yeah. what does that signal to you?
Honestly, I feel like it doesn't mean anything anymore. Like putting ACAB and BLM in your bio has become like synonymous to like putting like UW23 in your bio. Like it's less of a statement of that communicates injustice and demands social reform and is more of a personality trait, right? So I don't think obviously there's the people's like intention when they put it in, but I think beyond intention, it's used as a brand and it's used as a personality trait, and it doesn't mean, I think, what a lot of people think it means when they put it in their bios and in their dating app descriptions and stuff like that.
Totally, because like personally, I see a lot of people who have ACAB in their bio, but then they'll get so defensive whenever I talk about police abolition. I'm like, do you know what ACAB stands for? What does it stand for? Like, it's not like
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. ACAB doesn't stand for all cops are bastards anymore. It stands for ACAB, which is a personality trait that
like
people are adopting.
Some people are just like, all cops are beautiful. Like,
yeah, come on. Yeah, it's dumb.
I know.
It's really bad. Adding on to that, social media as a whole, I think, warps motivation to such an intense degree. Like, I think of it a lot as like a performance space, right? Like you perform your life, you perform who you are, and therefore motivation behind anything becomes self-serving, right? Everything is branded. No one's a person on social media. It's impossible to be a person on social media. We're just performing personhood. And so like when we put BLM and ACAB in our bios, we're performing anti-racism, we're performing this radical mindset, not because I don't think we're striving for or working for any change, but because it makes us look good, right? And it gives us this weird sense of moral superiority that I think is so rampant on Instagram and especially on Twitter that, you know, it's yeah, the motivation behind it is purely self-serving, and it's less of an indication about like your personal political beliefs and like more of how you want to be
yeah,
seen by other
I know
people.
That like I've also kind of brought up that argument with people I know, and I know some people argue that like, you know, at least people are more knowledgeable about the issues, you know, because people are saying these things. But it's like, how much do you think really has changed? How much do you think has actually changed, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because it's what a lot of this shit is doing on social media is that it's turning anti-racism into a passive state, right? Like, you put BLM in your bio and you post an infographic about, like, the crisis in Nigeria on your story, and you're done. Like, you're not racist anymore. You've been cured. When it's like, that's obviously not the problem. Anti-racism is absolutely not a passive state. It's not about what you do on social media. It's about teaching yourself and re-educating yourself and working to dismantle, you know, social systems and systems of oppression and holding people accountable. But, you know, especially on Instagram and social media, you see, like, especially, like, back in like, late spring, early summer, when, like, the movement was really popping off and people were going to protest, like, you would see, like, your friend from high school, Courtney, like, post a picture at a protest, like, with all her girlfriends, and be like, have this big long paragraph of, like, guys, like, we have to, you know, stop, like, racism and police brutality in our country. Like, my heart goes out to all these people. And, like, the next post would be like, me and my girlies at the beach. Like, it's so fake, and it's so, like, watered down and aestheticized, and it's performative and
absolutely
really bad.
I feel like there's such a brand of, like, woke white person on Instagram who will make sure to post, give yes. their, you know, daily quota of woke posts on their story, but then they'll still post, like, their, like, a 15-person sorority group photo without masks, but it was okay because yeah. they wore masks all other parts. So, like, whatever, shut up.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I know, it's
yeah,
so weird and hypocritical.
I prefer the people who, like, just don't care over them. I don't know.
Truly. Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, it's weird and hypocritical and
I know. Yeah, so, like, kind of speaking of which, one thing I, like, this is something, it's kind of my new icebreaker question, to be honest, but I have a question okay. for you, because a lot of people have discovered what Canva is recently, and this and this means
oh my god
that there's been a rise in a lot of, like, educational accounts and stuff, and there's, like, two particular ones that are probably, like, the most famous at the moment that, like, I remember yes. during the beginning of the pandemic, they had, like, I guess, like, I would say, like, tens or hundreds of thousands of followers, but now they have more than, like, a million. First one is Shit You Should Care About. The second one that I'm pretty sure everyone mm-hmm. knows is So You Want to Talk About. What are your thoughts on those kinds yep. of accounts, or those accounts in particular? I have to ask.
Oh my god, it's so funny that you brought up Canva, because, like, I remember, like, using Canva for, like, school projects and shit, and, like, making posters in Canva. I was thinking a lot about, you know, these, like, aesthetic infographic accounts, because I don't think I ever really, like, dove deep into, like, why, like, the motivation, I guess, behind it, and I think to a certain extent, I mean, whether the creators of these infographics realize it or not, I feel like a lot of these graphics are born out of a sense of white fragility, this, like, blatant refusal to stomach the atrocious reality of these issues. And so we dress them up and we make them pretty and we sanitize and flatten these issues, which in turn creates distance, and which is interesting because I think posting these things on our stories and making them and interacting with them creates in our minds a false sense of closeness to these issues and a sense of intimacy, right? Like, oh, I've interacted with it, I've read the infographic, I know more about it, and therefore, like, I've done my part and I'm done, or something like that. But as is paradoxically true for a lot of the environments that social media as a whole creates, we're subconsciously distancing ourselves from these problems by dressing them up and by making them look pretty. And I don't know, I was thinking about it, I was sort of likening, like, these infographics to, like, the plaques you see in, like, exhibits and museums, specifically, like, natural history museums, where like, you're archiving these cultures, you're archiving the people, these people who are oppressed, like, you're flattening them into data. They're no longer living people. It's no longer, like, a living, breathing issue that continues to plague us. It's, like, data, and it's a funny, like, funky 70s font and pastel colors. So it's this, it's, like, this weird, like, you're killing these issues by making cool infographics about them.
No, for sure,
that's
for
just
sure.
What I think.
Like, I remember that they grew a lot because I know that in May, everybody wanted to, like, be woke and stuff because of the protests and because George Floyd was getting publicized a ton. But, like, and I, like, at first they were, like, seen as a good, and I was just, like, I was feeling a little sus about it, but then I was like, no, maybe that's just because I hate on everything. But but then it's, like, they started putting out posts that, like, touch on more, like, radical or revolutionary topics. Like, straight up, there's this one post that I remember first got a ton of heat because I remember So You Want to Talk About on Instagram posted a post that basically explained Marxism, but they did it so badly, and all, like, the Marxists came at them. Like, I think that one of the critiques is that literally part of the reason, part of, like, the argument that the post was saying about, like, what Marxism is, like, if you understand the class system, then you're a Marxist. I'm like, no, that's not what it means.
Absolutely not.
Like,
okay.
All of these topics are just, I feel like they're just totally being watered down, and you're taking these radical ideas, but, like, from a neoliberal perspective, and it just... And then also because these accounts are regarded as infographics, and infographic usually means, like, purely educational without, like, obviously everything is biased, you know, but also it's like they're trying to come off as an account that's meant to be neutral. And then some people are literally like, this is literally propaganda. Like, did the CIA hire you or something? A lot of leftists are saying that. But
yeah. Well, what's interesting is when you bring up, like, Marxism and all of these really, like, radical, like, sometimes, like, anarcho-socialist like, concepts that are these infographic accounts are trying to contextualize is, and I think on a bigger scale, like, the problem with BLM and ACAB becoming hashtags and this movement sort of splitting and branching onto social media and onto the social media stage is that it's, at its very heart, an anti-system movement that is working within the system's terms, working within the system, which means it's never going to achieve what it strives to achieve. And it, I don't think Instagram or Twitter or any of these infographic accounts will ever be useful platforms for any kind of social change and any kind of revolution, because you're operating so tightly within the system at this point that at best what you're going to get is, like, reform. And I think reform is just a method of reproducing the same machines. And, you know, these accounts are running on a platform that is fueled by capitalism and colonialism and all of these really harmful systems that they are trying to dismantle. So, yeah, it's interesting that you bring up them trying to tackle Marxism.
I know.
And just truly failing.
Yeah, I know. Like, I personally definitely... am always criticizing these infographic centered accounts, but I know that, like, some of my more, I guess, liberal-ish friends definitely do think that at least they're talking about the issue. So I have to ask, in your opinion, were these infographics and, like, aesthetically pleasing formats on political issues, do you think that they've been a net good? Like, what do you think the actual impact has been on, like, I guess, the political, socio-political scene, how we talk about these things?
I think, I don't know, as always, I think probably the motivation behind these is educational and is, you know, kind-hearted, but I don't, like, do you, when you see those infographics on your story, like, on your friend's stories, do you ever, like, click on them and read them? Like, what is the percentage of infographics that you just, like, flip by? Which is, I think, also the problem of making them, like, really flashy and pink and, like, because I feel like they just blend in with the rest of Instagram, right? And you're just flipping through people's stories, looking at the same sort of, like, cute aesthetic images over and over and over again, and you're desensitized to the actual thing that these accounts are trying to portray and the actual information that they're trying to get across to you, because everything looks the same now and everything's so aestheticized. And I think even, I don't know, I was reading this article for one of my other classes called Insurgent Histories and the Abolitionist Imaginary by Saya Hartman. And she talks about how Black, so often, especially these days, Black suffering is turned into white pedagogy, which is below the bare minimum, right? It's not enough to educate yourself and be anti-racist and be aware of all of these things. Like, you have to dismantle the system and remake the social order whole cloth. So I think even if these Instagram accounts are educating people, I think that's still like very below the bare minimum when it comes to movements like this and when it comes to promoting social change. I think what's much more important is anything that can promote action over, you know, just like reading up on stuff. And it's interesting also to think about like the motivations behind wanting to get educated, right? Like, you want to educate yourself, that's great, that's necessary, but why is it, like, why is this what it took for you to want to do that? Like, if Black and brown people weren't being explicitly murdered and brutalized by the system on the news, on social media, like, if it wasn't a trend, you wouldn't be doing this at all. So, like, why is this what it took? And why, like, why are you more attracted to these super aestheticized, watered down, you know, sources of information on Instagram?
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's so sad that this is what it took. Because I know that it all kind of started when people were talking about Ahmaud Arbery. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember I was just so shocked. It's so sad. I was so shocked when I saw, like, celebrities I followed posting about that, because nobody would ever post about that before. Exactly. Like, Black people have been being murdered for, like, centuries and stuff. And I've always seen it on my feed just because, like, I spend a lot of time on Twitter, so you kind of get you see that on there. Yeah. But then, like, certain amounts of it are filtered and then eventually make it onto Instagram. And it's, like, normally nobody really talked about it. Like, you could mention that kind of thing, like, maybe in, like, 2018 or something. And then they'd be like, wow, that's so sad. Okay, I'm gonna go back to, like, watching Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
But then now it's, like, it's trendy. And also, because we have these infographics, I feel like it's really easy to take in the information. Like, I know so many people who are posting on their stories, like, read this, get educated. But then in their free time, what are you're like living on your mommy and daddy's, like, large amount of money that you're not donating to bail funds. Exactly. Or mutual aid. And I'm like, okay, exactly. You're educated, but that literally doesn't matter at all if you're not doing anything about it. Like, I've seen some people I follow, like, Black writers and stuff, and they're like, I literally don't care if you're, like, doing anti-racist trainings because you're not donating any money or, like, taking any actions. And it's like,
exactly,
doesn't matter.
Exactly. And I think what scares me, I guess, a lot about seeing what kinds of, like, this happening on social media and the movement kind of moving to social media to a certain extent, and, like, seeing what these infographic accounts are posting about, is, like, the internet is a platform that moves so incredibly fast, right? And so, like, it's so hard to focus on one particular action point and one particular, issue for so, like, if you see, like, the infographics that people post about, like, it's so many different issues, right? Like, just flipping through stories, like, one day it'll be about a crisis in Nigeria, and another day it'll be about, like, a law being passed, and another day, like, it's just, there's so many, it's such an information overload that is not, like, focusing on one specific thing and one specific issue, and it's kind of jumping around all over the place, that I don't think the internet itself has, like, the attention to give to one specific thing for long enough to actually make a change or, you know, invoke change.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, if you go click on an infographic, it'll have, like, the classic title slide. It's like, intro to whatever. And it's like, there are scholars who have written pages and pages and pages on those issues, and you think you can get it through bullet points on like 7 square slides? Like, I don't think so.
Exactly.
But then so many people read it and they're like, oh, you're talking about, let's go back to Marxism. You're talking about Marxism? I know all about it. Like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Just because you saw something like, Instagram doesn't make you a Marxist scholar. Exactly. And you can't condense these issues into a quick, like, little bite-sized thing. Like, it's impossible.
I think that's just the whole thing with, like, I guess, radical ideology also, because I think that all of us kind of have an idea planted in our head about what Marxism is, what communism is, what socialism is, what capitalism is. And it's like, I feel like so many people just think, oh, I know the definition and I know it exists, so I just know all about it. And, you know, I'm not affected by that Red Scare propaganda. I'm built different.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And I think, like, it's sort of the same thing as, like, if you take, like, the punk movement, and the evolution of the punk movement as a sort of, I think it's sort of analogous to what we're sort of talking about here, where it's, like, punk started out as an inherent rebellion against culture, an inherent rebellion against the social order, and now, like, Pussy Riot is playing at Coachella, and, like, Pussy Riot is, like, selling merch and shit on the internet and, like, on Twitter and whatever, and it's now existed, it exists so tightly within the social and the cultural sphere because it's become in vogue to be punk and to be alt. Like, I think I blame TikTok for a lot of, like, the, like, popularization of, like, alt identity and alt fashion, which was so, it started as something so radical and so anti-culture, and now it's, like, it is culture. And so it's this whole thing of, like, you can't, going back to, I guess, what we were talking about earlier, like, you can't execute a revolution like this on social media, within on culture's terms, on the system's terms.
Yeah, the revolution will not be on TikTok.
The revolution absolutely will not be on TikTok.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because, like, as soon as everything that once it enters, you know, the sphere of popular culture and everything, it kind of gets watered down to be palatable to more people. Yep. And it's, like, cool, but it's kind of like the whole idea of, like, Marxism and stuff, or, like, other radical ideas. It's like you get watered down so people can be more receptive to it, but then what people are learning about it is not what it is. And
yep.
I think that's what a lot of what's happening right now is.
I definitely agree. I absolutely agree.
So I know that with infographics, on one hand, we do have a lot of the, like, sort of watering down of ideas. But then I know that I don't think that it's being shared that much anymore, but I know there were, like, communist Hello Kitty graphics being shared around. What are your thoughts there? I want to know.
I'd love to dive into ACAB Hello Kitty. God, that, and also, like, the Manny flag.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
Fucking infuriating. Okay, let's start with Hello Kitty then. There's this whole, like, anti-fascist idea that fascism achieves what it achieves because of the aestheticization of politics, right? Like, when you make politics something, like, so sanitized and menial, by, I guess, turning it into something consumable, then you've achieved, you know, sort of a fascism in a way. And I think something you can sort of relate that to Hello Kitty ACAB. I think it's like the sanitization of all this violence, and it's performative activism, and it's commodification, and, like, the commercialization of a radical aesthetic, and that I think is very extremely antithetical to, like, the very purpose of ACAB and Marxism and all these, like, communist messages. When you romanticize these horrible crises, it sanitizes and it dilutes the violence to, like, a crazy degree. I think what makes these memes funny is trivialization, right? Like, oh, it's often like ACAB is used a lot in a lot of these memes, like Hello Kitty ACAB and like shit like that. It's used as shock value. It's used as a funny joke, like because the term is so radical and you juxtapose it with something like cute and sweet like Hello Kitty. It trivializes the message and it dilutes the message, and it's like the point is the trivialization. The point isn't supporting these messages. The point is that it's funny that you put ACAB next to Hello Kitty or a cartoon or Manny. And so yeah, I hate those images. And like people are, especially like alt TikTok and like alt people, like alt culture in general, I feel like has co-opted these images and is like using them and spreading them like it's I don't know, like it's revolutionary or like it's indicative of like social change and it's indicative of like their political beliefs, but it's really just like it makes these movements and these terms into like jokes and something to consume. It trivializes them and it desensitizes you to their actual message, and it's not serious anymore, and it's not something we have to take seriously anymore. It's something that we laugh at when we're scrolling through Tumblr or Instagram.
Yeah. Do you think, though, like, I don't know how it personally affected me, but do you think that framing all of these radical ideas into just, like, cute little aesthetic cartoons, Hello Kitty or whatever, do you think that's actually gotten mm-hmm. more people receptive to, like, being radicalized or understanding these ideas? Like, what do you think, I guess, like, the effect result of the like aestheticization has been?
I think specifically in the case of Hello Kitty ACAB and all those sort of graphics, I don't think so. I think you can't, I don't know. I don't think you can effectively be radicalized by images that ultimately trivialize the entire movement. I don't think that the people who are consuming these images are consuming them because they want social change or anything. They're consuming them because they think it's funny, and they're posting them because they think it's funny.
I think personally when I first saw them, I was like, oh, that was funny. But also just because I was already kind of on the actual, like, all cops are bastards train, yeah. You know? So I was like, oh, ha, that was funny. I got a little laugh out of it. But, like, I guess I'm just, like, thinking about what would be the equivalent of what ACAB means now. Like, as a result of all of this, like, commodifying it and making it look pretty and everything, like, ACAB obviously doesn't mean all cops are bastards, clearly. No. But, like, when you see ACAB, I, like, already asked this earlier, but I guess in this context, mm-hmm. like, what does that signal to you?
Like, specifically within these sorts of images?
Yeah, like, if you see ACAB, like, obviously it doesn't mean, like, abolish the police, but...
I think it's... I mean, honestly, I think it's mostly used for, like... shock value, especially in these images and stuff, like, oh, it's such a radical statement, and like when you use it over and over again and you dilute it, obviously it loses meaning. And I think like ACAB, I feel like it's also, I feel like it's when you say ACAB and when you see ACAB in these images and stuff, it's less about it's more just about like shitting on the police, which like I'm all for shitting on the police, right? Like I think we should shit on the police, but it's shifted the focus away from you know, like the actual systemic violence that the police are carrying out every day and the victims of that systemic violence, and it's more just about like fuck cops, you know what I mean? Like I fucking hate cops, whatever, like they suck, without actually acknowledging like what the police are doing to carry out these systems of oppression and who the police are hurting and how we can help the victims of systemic oppression. And it's more just about like spreading. I don't think any revolution was ever run on hate, right? I think it's the focus should be on, you know, the victims, and the focus should be on dismantling systems like this, and it shouldn't just be on like using statements like this, like shock value, and adding that to your personal brand that like you hate cops.
Yeah, like I feel like even before, I guess, the Black Lives Matter like totally movement totally blew up this year, like people would say fuck cops and all that, like it's because it's trendy to do so, like no, like obviously these people might not believe that we should abolish them, but like nobody really likes cops, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like that's a thing, and like it's just so funny in a not good way. Like I have friends who will put ACAB in their bio and they will say ACAB, but then on the same day they will post on their Instagram story like a whole thread about why not all cops are actually bad. It's like, but you just said ACAB, that doesn't make sense to me.
yeah, which is I think like similar to that, it's like a trend to hate America now. Like I remember on the 4th of July, so many people were like, oh God, so many people were like posting pictures of them at their like 4th of July barbecues or 4th of July celebrations being like, I hate living here, LOL. Which, and you know, trivializes the issue. Obviously, I don't like America and like America's shitty, but like when you make it a trend to hate something, like when you make it a trend to hate something and you're not actively aware of why it's shitty and why you should hate it and how you can fix it, it's completely trivializing and watering down the issue, which is similar with ACAB, I think.
Yeah, no, because it's literally a bunch of people, like usually white people and like non-black people of color, who will be saying all of these like really shocking phrases or just like really like on the offense, and it'll be like they'll say like, oh, I hate America, burn it down, or like abolish the police, abolish ICE and stuff, but they don't understand why people are saying it, and it's like it's just for the sake of saying it, and it's yep. Like, you know, while you're saying these like half-hearted bad faith things, people are like dying and suffering, and like yeah, it's just such a mockery, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a throwaway thing, especially like I hate America. It's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing to actually get educated when your argument for like, I don't know, like why I guess you aren't participating in the system or like why you aren't educating yourself is, oh, I hate America. Everything's fucked. It's like you're giving yeah. up. It's a throwaway thing. You don't actually care about the victims of systemic violence and the victims of the institution. Yeah. It's just like, oh, I hate it, and move on.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's literally like people are like, oh, I hate this country. But then it's like you see people who are actually on the streets. And the reason they hate this country is because they want better for their people. And they want mm-hmm. like better conditions and everything. All these other people are like, oh, it sucks, but I'm just going to stay here and chill anyway because I can live my life still.
Yeah. And I think it's moving the blame, too. Like when you say, oh, I hate America, you are distancing yourself from the systems that you directly benefit from if you're a non-black person.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many layers to how everyone is right now. Because first of all, there's the people who are just like, you know, total Trump supporters, total like fascists and everything. And then there's the people who are kind of like, I'm in the middle ground. Like, yeah, I feel like we should have big borders, but also I want healthcare. And then there's the people who like we'll say, oh, these are bad, but I'm not that invested. And it just shows a lot of how so much has been trivialized. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Manny flag was so infuriating. Like, infuriating. Yes. Like, honestly, first time I saw it, I kind of just thought it was really cringe. But it was literally, when it was at the peak, it was on every like post as I was like, scrolling through my Instagram stories, and I was like, why is Manny everywhere and why is there a flag? So yesterday I was I was looking it up, and so apparently the Manny flag has a website, and I went there, and then
I'm not strong enough. No, I have it.
I'm going there right now. I'm going to read a quote from just the about page that it pulled. It says, "The Manny flag is a symbol of peace, all caps, and not all caps to be radicalized. So much of our generation has love and passion for what is right in their hearts, but many do not know where to start." And I'm like, this is like the definition of watering down a movement.
Oh my God. This is, I didn't even know that this website existed. This is awful. How Gen Z can make a difference. Signing petitions. Vote. Tell your racist uncle to shut up. Yeah, this is all you need to do, honestly.
This is like the horrible epitome of like cards and people's bios.
Yes, this sucks. This sucks so bad. Well, I was researching the, because I have a very distinct memory of like when this started popping off, and it was on TikTok. I don't know if you've seen the TikTok, but it was the guy who like drew Manny. He was like, I think it was like after a protest or like in a protest space or something like that. But he had like spray paint and he drew Manny and he said, "The Manny will not be televised," which it's a reference to the revolution will not be televised, which I think it's so fucking ironic that this is what the Manny flag is being used for, given the actual intention behind the message, "The revolution will not be televised." I think it's so, so fun. Like, it's borderline hilarious, like, how ironic it is and how hypocritical it is, how, like, the Manny flag has been used and spread. Yeah, I hate this fucking flag.
Yeah, the fact that they literally used the title of "The Revolution will not be televised" and then co-opted that totally, like, it really just shows what exactly their message is. Like, they're literally, also the fact that, like, what they're trying to convey is literally what "The Revolution will not be televised" was conveying about, like, this isn't what's gonna happen. And
exactly.
Like, it's the moment when I hate my generation sometimes.
So dumb. I know.
Yeah. It's, no, because really, I remember that when it went viral and when everyone was posting about it, I remember that Jeff Kinney, the author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books, tweeted about it, but he deleted them afterwards. But his tweets were right. Like I found screenshots, and then he basically writes, "Lots of people are asking me right now how I feel about my character being used as an anti-police symbol. Honestly, I don't like it. The Black Lives Matter movement needs to be taken seriously. This isn't helping." Like, he deleted this, and it's true. Thank and then you, he Jeff. Replies to someone who disagreed, like, "Oh, it's just, this is good. You know, it's getting more people involved." He's like, "Understood, and I appreciate your perspective. I think that assigning a cartoon character to this trivializes it." And I'm like, "You're on it. That's right." But then he, like, deleted his tweets, so I'm like, no.
Come on, Jeff. Post the tweets again, Jeff. We need to hear them, especially now. It's crazy that the Manny flag is still popping off, like, still now. Like, I still see it in, like, people's profile pictures. I'm like, get that shit. I don't want to see it anymore.
It's not even good-looking, so honestly. Let's be real.
It looks, listen, it's, like, piss yellow. I hate it so much. It's not formatted correctly. Like, he's, like, off-center in the middle of the... It's just bad. Like, it's gross.
I know, really gross. I know.
I wonder if they can get sued for using this character.
Yeah, what if he just decided to...
Aren't there, like, copyright claims against this image?
Wait, what if he's literally just sued?
Jeff, come on. Do it for us.
Yeah,
get this shit off the internet.
Yeah. No, I remember, like, the other thing, the Manny flag was paired with, like, because they literally had a petition to be like, "Let's change the American flag into the Manny flag." And I found the petition. Actually, I'll, like, share it with you right now on the chat. It's horrible. Like, you can...
This is poison.
And it got, like, over a million signatures. I'm like, there's so many other causes that need signatures. And it's like...
Oh my God, that's so many signatures. I'm glad they haven't reached their goal yet, though.
Literally. And it's like, I'm looking at the description they have, and it's like, as you can tell, the blue in the top right corner has been changed to black because Black Lives Matter. The stars on the flag have been replaced with the icon of our generation, the Manny, who symbolizes unity, justice, and being unproblematic. Bro,
I hate this. This is, like, so disgusting. First of all, the way they're talking about it is so, like, graphic design is my passion. Like,
yeah.
It says at the top, our flag is outdated, doesn't portray a good message, and frankly is ugly looking. Yeah, and this one's so much better. It's just, like, disgusting. Like, this shit, this specific shit, this petition is the exact thing that we're talking, like, this is bringing attention away and bringing, like, effort and action away from the Black Lives Matter movement and the, you know, police abolition movement and towards dumb time-wasting shit like this. And the fact that they're joking around about it in the description, like, yeah. They're not, like, co-opting this imagery and co-opting the phrase and distracting people from, like, actual action items that they need to be taking, especially, like, because a lot of social change and, like, action items were petitions, right? Like, petitions to get people out of prison or petitions to raise money for victims' families and stuff. And the fact that they're co-opting this platform and using the same sort of imagery and the same platform to do something stupid as possibly, like, as a reference to these petitions that were going around in late spring and early summer to actually benefit the families is really gross, and I don't like it at all. It's really bad,
honestly. And it's just, like, it's just so corny in a horrible way, in a horrible, horrible way. Like, the fact that they're using, like, a dumb little cartoon to symbolize this is the movement for Generation Z, we're gonna make a difference. And honestly, it's not a good look, and it's just making us look really worse than we already do in front of the millennials and Gen X and boomers and stuff.
Dude, millennials are gonna tear us a new asshole for this fucking flag.
Seriously.
God damn.
I know, my god. Yeah, no, I'm like, this petition is still open on my page, the Manny Flag one, and they literally end it. They end it with, like, let's change the world, one Manny at a time. Please, I'm in pain.
I hate that so much. It's such, like, a mockery. Like, it's just a gross mockery of, like,
yeah,
actually serious shit that we need to be focusing on.
Yeah, no. If I, like, hadn't seen the post and everything, if you showed me this without any context, I would literally think this was made by some boomer who's, like, mocking us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it looks like.
It parodies itself in such an unfunny way.
Yeah. And the fact that so many people I know would be had shared it unironically, like, oh my gosh, this is the pinnacle of activism. I'm going to share. I'm going to sign. So sad.
It's so sad.
Like, oh my gosh, it's just, I know that people are going, like, stir crazy and out of their mind being at home all the time, but it's like, is this really what we came up with?
Is this what you want to put your effort towards? Photoshopping this really ugly flag.
I know. Anyways, that's all we have for today. Thanks for being on. Do you have any last parting comments about anything?
I don't know if I could. I'm just, like, so riled up right now. Get off social media, go to protests, actually do shit. Educating yourself is not enough. Reposting infographics is not enough. Go out and listen to minorities and dismantle the system. Yeah, that's all I've got.
Yeah, I vibe with that. Valid. All right. Again, thanks for being on.
Yeah, this is so fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Cosmopolitics. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Hope you vibed with it, got something out of it. Just stay cognizant of the media you consume. Don't be afraid to question those pretty artsy infographics. Take action. Talk to your friends. Stay safe. Bye, everybody. Thank you.